my microphone. Okay, so my name is Fallon Majeski, and I'm interviewing Rania. Mm-hmm. Ha. And she's going to tell us a story about her life. And my son is in the background making a little bit of noise, so if you hear me chasing, that's what's happening. So go ahead and let's hear your story.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. I'm originally from Iraq. I moved out of my country after the war of 2003. So I went to Damascus, Syria, because it was a safer place for us to live in. And the main reason I moved out of Iraq, because my brother and I were ballet dancers, and after the war, they were saying, it's an Islamic country, you can't do that, you can't dance, you can't play music. So we used to attend music and ballet school in Iraq, which has regular classes, and then after that you have to go to study music or dance. So you had to have a talent in order for you to be accepted in that school. One day we were trying to leave, we're waiting for the bus, and just, I don't know what they're called, like a militia or people that had covered their faces. They came out with guns and stuff, and they were telling us, they pushed one of my friends, and they were telling us that you can't dance anymore. If you keep going to this school, we're going to kill you guys, and your parents won't even find your bodies. And then that was a pretty serious thing for us. My family was freaking out, my mom and dad, so we decided to leave the country. That's why we went to Syria. We lived there for like 4 years. Started going to school there, had to start from the zero, adjust to a new life, and then we applied to the United Nations. The process took a long time, going through interviews, seeing different people, telling the story over and over and over, and then we finally got an opportunity to come to the U.S., which we couldn't believe at the time. Then we moved out of Syria because we got accepted to come to the U.S. It was in 2009. Started high school again here. I brought my transcripts luckily with me, so they were able to translate them, and then I didn't have to repeat like every class I had to take or I took. So that was good for me. It was a little bit different because I like traveling, but I don't like starting all over from the zero. So like finding new friends, but I was lucky that I had my mom and dad and younger brothers with me. The little one was only a few months old when we moved to the U.S., so it wasn't really hard for him to adjust to it. The only hard part for us was just like having to start everything all over and get established again, for my dad finding a new job, taking care of the family, for my mom like having friends. Really, in the holidays, we don't have a lot of family here. So the moment we started getting to know people here and celebrate with them, it made our life much easier. For us, everybody was like really welcoming. My little brother, actually, one time we were walking down the street, and then everybody was just like waving at him, and he's like, Mom, everybody knows me here, just because people were friendly in Minnesota, so we were kind of lucky. So yeah, like I said, I came with my family, so that was the thing that I was really fortunate to have, because a lot of people have lost some of their loved ones before they left, or before they got an opportunity to leave the country. If I want to go back, I mean, really this is my home, so if I would ever go back, only when it's safe for me to do so, and it would only be for a visit because I grew up here, so I feel like I belong here more than there. So that's kind of, yeah, it's a little bit different. What else? Sometimes I felt like it was kind of weird that people had a lot of freedom here, but, because over there, like, there is freedom, but not so much, like, there's always like these traditions and customs and like, oh, you're a girl, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, if you were a boy, it's okay. So there's always kind of like men's were dominant in that culture. But for me, like seeing like how much freedom we have in here was really good for me. But my family are way different from a lot of families over there because my mom and dad always supported us and they wanted us to like follow our dreams and they wanted a good future for us. So that was good for me. What else? A lot of people really helped me adjust to the life here. Like I had a mentor in high school and I had a counselor, diversity counselor, that I always like visit, and you know, we would talk about a lot of stuff, and he told me like just be careful with how much freedom you see here. Like, sometimes people tend to do bad things, but for me, I focused on, like, what I really wanted to do. And I like that everybody, like, there was an equal opportunity for, like, not only men and women, but people from other cultures and other countries. So that was something that I really, really like about the U.S. I do feel safe, however, with what's going on right now and how people, like, label other people and, you know, yep. So it just kind of gets to be really scary for me because, you know, I mean, I'm still different, and a lot of people sometimes just ask based on my accent or, like, the way I look, oh, where are you from? Where sometimes I feel like this is not even a necessary question, but they still do it. Some of them just out of curiosity, and others are just trying to, like, label you or differentiate you. So that kind of just makes me feel hesitant to even answer. But I don't mind, because sometimes I feel like people need to know you, need to know who you are in order for them to make a really fair judgment. What else?
Do you feel like you should be judged?
Not really. Not really. Because, I mean, we tend to, like, it's good to stay away from judging other people, but sometimes as humans we do it. Sometimes don't even feel unconsciously just judge someone. But when you get to know a person, like, I have a lot of my friends who would hear things like, oh, Muslims are this and that, and then actually, and it's in my absence, and people would be like, no, I have a good friend who says this and that, who's like this, I've lived with them, I went to their house, I stayed there. So they, like, defend you if they know you, and that's really heart comforting, because then you have, like, people that would get your back if anything happens.
They would protect you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I do miss my friends, because a lot of them are, like, all over the place right now. There are some in the U.S. that I visited, like, 6 years ago, and others are, like, in London. I have people in Australia. So depending on when, where they got accepted, you know, as refugees, that's where they traveled. So I do miss them, and I feel like it's hard sometimes, but we still, like, keep in touch, like, through social media and, you know, calling each other every once in a while.
Did you lose any friends in the sense of they're no longer with us?
Well, one of them got kidnapped. We almost lost him. His dad was a doctor, and he played violin, so they didn't want him to play music anymore. So they asked for a lot of money, and then his dad had to, like, sell everything that he had in order for him to get his son back. And sometimes they would ask you for money, and they would, like, kill the person. But he was lucky that he got him back, so that was really crazy. But he got him back, and then he sent him to, I think it was where, Yugoslavia. He sent him to live there because it was just crazy for him to stay in Iraq, and he had his auntie there.
Did his father stay?
His father stayed. Oh. He couldn't afford leaving.
Well, if he sold everything.
Yeah, he couldn't afford leaving. He's like, I'm just a doctor. I'm not, like, a billionaire, because they were asking for a ridiculous amount of money. Yeah, that was this one. And then we had one of the security guards get killed when they did attack the school one time. And that guy, my little brother was really attached to this guy because we would always, like, wait by the security area for our bus. So they would talk, they'd play, like, soccer together. And, yeah, that's the one that we lost. And then I just recently lost my mentor and advisor here in high school. He passed away all of a sudden. He was, like, a really close person to my family and I. He supported me all the way through high school and stuff, and he helped a lot of people. So that was really, really heartbreaking for me. So I'm still kind of recovering from that, but
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a scary road.
I know. It's too much, and it's overwhelming. Like, sometimes when I look back at, like, what happened, it's just, it's hard. Like, when we first got here, when you hear, like, fireworks or something, like, we automatically, like, get scared, because, like, that used to be the sounds of bombs when we were there, because we left after the war. Like, we were there for the whole war, and then we left, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had a question, now I forgot it.
We're good.
Or how old are you now?
I'm 25 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you plan to do now that you're here? Like, are you going to college?
I'm going to college, and I am a manager at my job. I got my first job here in the U.S. because my dad was never going to let me work over there without having a degree because it's different. It's not like, you
know,
some,
like here where you can go and get a McDonald's job.
Yep. Yeah. Over there, even if you do that, people kind of look down upon you, like being a girl and working. Sometimes they'd want to take advantage of you.
Wow.
So over here is different. People do respect that. And so I got my first job here.
Did you like your first job?
Oh, my God. Not really. It was just a job. I was really sensitive, and any little thing would, like, break me at that time. But having a job really helps build in your personality. Mm-hmm. You get to meet a lot of people, and that's what I really liked. I'm still going to college right now. I have a major in biology, and I'm doing a minor in business for my
wow.
job. I work at a bank, like I said, and I'm a service manager there. What else? My brother go to college. The little one is in school still. My dad has a job. My mom used to volunteer at school and help the little kids in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she was like a teacher assistant, but because like she got sick, she couldn't do a lot of that anymore. I do
takes
personally.
Takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. I do a lot of volunteering job too. I mean, I went to Ronald McDonald's house. I at least go there like 3 times a year, if not more. I do at the volunteering at the Channel One, United Way, and I donate every year to the Cancer Society, and I did donate to the autism, because with autism, that
autism?
Was a, yeah, autism, yeah. Yeah, so I do that. It comes out of, like, the paycheck. So we do it to organizations. And it's nice because we get to pick if we want to donate and what organizations we want the money to go to. But that's about it.
How old were you when you came here? Or when you went to Syria, I guess.
When I went to Syria, I don't even remember. I think I was...
Because you were in school.
Like 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been a long, long time.
So all of a sudden, you're a 12-year-old, and you're in school, and you're mm-hmm. taking dance, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
no longer, and everything's gone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What was it like to leave? I mean, were you able to pack anything?
No, we only were able to take our clothes. We left our house, and some of our friends actually called and told us that people broke into our house, strangers, and then they are living there. And it's scary, because if you go there and you try to ask them to leave or show papers or anything, you might get killed, because you don't know who's living there. But we were only able to bring our clothes with us, and
wow.
so, yeah, we had to start all over, but...
Oh, was there anything you wish you could have grabbed?
I mean, like, just, you would always want to have, like, your own home with you,
yeah.
like, your own room, your own toys, you know, at that age, but...
When you guys were in Syria, were you in, like, a one-room apartment? Where were you?
It was our first time that we lived in an apartment, because we always had our own big house and all that, and it was hard to live in a small apartment. My brother and I shared a room. When we got to the U.S., we still shared a room, and then...
By that point, you're teenagers.
Yeah.
You need space.
It was hard, yeah. So it was just really... There's a lot of little changes, but that really does help. It helped me understand that people can go through a lot, and, you know, just because you see a person and you see where they're at right now, that doesn't mean that they, like, didn't suffer in their life to get where they got. Mm-hmm. So it just helped me, or it opened my eyes to, like, look at the world in a different perspective, because I've been there and I can relate to a lot of people, so.
What do you still dance today?
I used to until I started college, and classes got hard, and I started working, so
oh,
it was, like, too much.
Oh, you gotta keep dancing.
Yeah, so I did a couple of shows on Thursdays on First here in Rochester,
mm-hmm.
some ballet shows, and I did join a couple of the groups, but it was just really hard to keep up with, so I don't dance.
Do you miss it?
I do, a lot.
Yeah.
So I already got up plans for my future daughter, if that happens.
Right.
She's gotta dance, no choice.
He is gonna dance. So.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, there he is.
And that's my son, I apologize. Don't lick the battery. Here, a blueberry. Yeah, not a battery. Okay, this is gonna be fun. What was your favorite style of dance? Did you ever venture out of ballet?
I did, I took a jazz class, and I liked it, but you know when you're so used to like classic ballet, it was different. I liked modern dance too. there's in Syria, I actually joined some dance groups, and it was like a mixture of modern dance and then ballet, and they have like some like a traditional dancing thing. I liked it, but not really. Like, I still like to go to back to classic ballet, because that's what I love the most.
Okay. And, what else? What is your favorite thing about being here in America, even with the political situation the way it is?
There are no limits to what you want to do. So if you work hard and you put a goal in front of you, no one really can stop you from reaching that goal. And you have to prove yourself. Like, if you work hard, even if people were opposed to you getting where you want to get, or they don't think that you are capable of doing it, they have to at some point stop thinking that. And you're just going to have to work extra hard. And that's what I really like, is that even though sometimes people try to say you can't do it and just kind of like, you know, pull you down, but you have that freedom to do what you want to do. And that's something I didn't have. Like in Syria, you have to pay so much money in order for you to send your kids to college, even though it's another Middle Eastern country. Whereas here, everybody is treated the same way, and that's what I really like about it.
Well, thank you very much for all of your time.
No problem.
And it was amazing to learn about your life story all that you've overcome and all that your family has overcome. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Are you sure you are finished?